إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us, we did not begin when we were born in this world and we will not end when we leave this world. We began a long time before this in the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but effectively the first time we began was when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us into the Alamul Arwah. And then it is our ruh, it is our spirit as it is called, which then comes into the body. And then it is the spirit which leaves the body, and when the spirit leaves the body disintegrates. As long as the spirit is in the body does not rot. But as soon as the spirit is taken out of the body decomposes, disintegrates. And then it is the spirit which goes into the qabr. It is the spirit which is once again put back into the body, and we are resurrected on the Day of Judgment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so on and so on. So what lasts, what continues, and what is the essence and the reality of our existence is not this body, but it is the spirit, it is the ruh. I therefore remind myself and you that that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he mentioned the Muslims, he said, "Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub." Allah said, in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is peace and calmness and itminan, a feeling of safety and comfort in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is because essentially we are spiritual creatures. We live in a world which is geared to make us forget that. And for the most part, the world is very successful in doing that. And the world tries to convince us that happiness and comfort lies in material things. Happiness lies in eating good food and so on and so forth, and all the list of things. I don't want to go into all that. But all forms of indulgence and all forms of forgetfulness which take us away from our actual reality, from the zikr of Allah Jalla Jalalu. So even where the action may not be haram, may not be prohibited, but it still takes us away from the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in that sense, it is still prohibited. One can say that ghaflat is prohibited. So how can we say that something which is ghafla is not haram? Now, we don't say it is not haram, because haram in the shara'i sense of the term, which attracts with it some kind of punishment. So we're not saying it is haram like that, but to be ghafil from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be forgetful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to live in this world as if Allah does not exist. If you look at it, many times we have to ask ourselves, what is the difference in terms of my existence, in terms of what I do, in terms of how I live, between me and an atheist? Is there a perceptible difference between me and an atheist? And especially if you say, well, just remove, for the sake of argument, just remove the Salah from this, because we are doing it, so, you know, may Allah forgive us. Many of us just do it mechanically, we do it because it's been done. So just remove that from the equation. If I take my life during the day, other than the Salah, what differentiates me or my life from the life of an atheist who does not believe in Allah? He does not believe in Allah, he does not believe in the Akhirah, he does not believe in the resurrection, he does not believe in the Hisab, he does not believe in standing before Allah, Jannah, Jahannam, nothing. He said, he believes that this is the life, and then when I die, we become dust and that's it. What is the perceptible, visible difference between his life and my life? May Allah forgive us, wallah alam. Seriously, we have to ask ourselves this question. Because there seems to be no difference whatsoever. By looking at the life of a Muslim, you cannot say that this person is a Muslim, that he believes in Allah. So where does it take us? So we are spiritual creatures, but all our effort and all our focus and all our mehnat and all our mashakkat is for the body. Those of us who are who are considered to be wise, we ensure that we have a proper regimen of physical exercise every day. So we go to the gym and we do so much of aerobics and we do so much of anaerobics and so much of weights, and we have a personal trainer and we spend considerable amounts of money. I mean, none of this comes cheap. So we have a personal trainer, and then we have a dietitian who will tell us that you must have a high protein diet and you must cut out the carbs and don't eat white bread and so on and so on and so on. A list of things. All good, alhamdulillah, nothing wrong, absolutely nothing wrong. We should have this. We must have a personal trainer, must go to the gym, must have a dietitian. I absolutely have no quarrel with any of that. I think it's very important. There is nothing romantic or attractive in looking like a pregnant cow. I mean, it doesn't even suit a cow, so why should it suit you? So therefore, get out of that. But my question is that all of this for a body which will rot. All those six packs will rot just as much as the belly of that pregnant cow, believe me. All those muscles and all those biceps and triceps and quadriceps and all kinds of seps will rot, and they will become ant food and worm food just as fast as all the rolls of fat. So all this effort for that body, what for the spirit, what for the ruh? If I take my day, I can actually count out. This is the amount of time that I am spending on my body. So much time in sleep. The doctors tell you, unless you sleep for 8 hours, your brain can, all right, fine, look, we sleep for 8 hours. We're going to kiss goodbye to 1/3 of our lives, no problem. So how much of sleep, you can measure that. How much time goes in eating, you can measure that. How much time goes in bathing, you can measure that. How much time goes in dressing up, you can measure that. How much time goes in exercise, everything is measurable. But if you say how much time goes in feeding my spirit, how much time goes in going to the gym for my spirit, the spiritual gym, what is it? What are the spiritual aerobics and anaerobics that I have to do? What are the spiritual weights that I have to lift? Who is my spiritual personal trainer? Who is my spiritual dietitian? Do I have one? Do I need one? This is like if you are feeling hungry. Imagine that you are very, very hungry. You haven't eaten for 2 days or 3 days. I don't think any of us has ever been in that situation. Alhamdulillah. But we like to tell stories of how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never used to eat for 3 days. Not because he was on a diet. There was no food. So imagining 3 days, I think, is probably impossible. So let's imagine 1 day. Say, for example, in Ramadan, alhamdulillah, you fasted and you had Ramadan like we had here. So you got like, or maybe like in the UK or something. So 17, 18, 19 hours or whatever it was of fasting. May Allah bless them and give them the reward for that, inshallah. So after 17, 18 hours of fasting, you are ravenously hungry, very, very, very hungry. And you come for iftar, and you find that on the table there is a fantastic, 60 inches flat screen LCD television. Right. I came for iftar. You called me for iftar. Where's the food? I said, I'll show you the food. Please come, have a seat. And then exactly at the time of iftar, I turn on the TV and you're seeing this fantastic, beautiful, three-dimensional, 3D images of all kinds of beautiful dishes. Fantastic, huh? All kinds of fantastic food. And I also have an aromatizer. And so as you see the picture of the food, there's also the aroma of the food. So you're seeing the steam rising out of the biryani and you can actually smell it. And after I've shown you this whole picture for about 15 minutes, I say, alhamdulillah, are you full? We had a good meal. What do you think? Do you think I will even immediately after the fasting you will commit murder and I will attend shahada? You know, you get the point I'm saying. Seeing the images of food when you are hungry only makes the hunger worse. Not only does it not satisfy the hunger, it actually makes it worse. You would be better off not seeing those images. You would still be hungry, but you would be better off not seeing the images. And then somebody, you go to a poor man's house, and somebody gives you, he gives you whatever he has. Maybe he gives you a couple of dates. Maybe he gives you, you know, some piece of bread or something. And alhamdulillah, we eat it. We say, alhamdulillah, we are satisfied. That two dates or three dates or one date and that piece of bread is worth more than that 60-inch television with all its 3D images. Yes or no? Then how do we think that when the body needs food, it needs a particular kind of food? If you don't give the body the kind of food the body needs, the body will die. Then how do we think our spirit will survive when we are trying to feed the spirit material things, when the spirit needs the zikr of Allah? The food of the spirit is the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla jalla. It is the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the tawajjuh ila Allah. How are you going to give that? How is the spirit going to survive when it does not get that for days and days and days? Many of us feel, you know, Ramadan, how nice. Most Muslims feel Ramadan. Did you ever reflect why is it nice? How come everybody gets into the masjid in Ramadan and, you know, in i'tikaf, people who, sometimes we have people who are in i'tikaf who, Allah alam, whether they even pray five times salah in the masjid on normal days. But they will come and sit in i'tikaf for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, they are highly energized and they are, you know, full of life and they are so happy. And when they are going, there are tears in the eyes. Why? Why do you think all this is happening? Believe it's not for the love of me or you, or it's not for the love of the masjid. It is that spiritual food they are getting. It is the spiritual food they are getting. They are listening to so much of Quran in Taraweeh, the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in i'tikaf, they are living in the masjid. It is the food that the soul has got. So therefore, you're so happy, you're contented, you're feeling good. But then, what about the other 355 days? That's only 10 days. So what is the food for my spirit? I want to remind myself and you, let us think about this. Because at the end of the day, that spirit is what gives us life. Adam alayhi salam, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I made him with my own hands. Adam alayhi salam, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the spirit into him, was a clay image, a clay idol. What do you call it? You have to call it an idol, because it's not an idol which is worshipped, but it's a statue, a clay statue. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put spirit in. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the spirit into him, he became a human being. He became alive. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him. But this is the usul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the spirit which gives life. Take the spirit out, you're dead. What is the difference? Alhamdulillah, I don't know if all of you have bathed somebody who died, but certainly I have bathed, and I'm sure some of you have bathed somebody who died. What is the difference? What is the difference between a dead man and a somebody who is sleeping? No difference. Except that this one doesn't wake up. But otherwise, I mean, the hand feels the same, the body looks the same, the face looks the same. There's no change. I mean, it's not as if it's the face is changing its shape or nothing. Just like looks like a sleeping person. But what's happened? The spirit was removed. It's gone. You go put them into the earth, that's it. So is our spirit still there inside? Physically it is there, that's why we are talking, but is it alive? Is it alive? Is it healthy? What is the state of that spirit? How much food did it get? What exercise did it get? What are we doing for the health of the spirit? Does my spirit have cancer? Does my spirit have cardiac problems? Equivalent, I mean, think about that, don't take it literally. I'm just saying that what is it, what are the illnesses of my spirit and what am I doing about that? I need to remind myself and I ask you to remind yourself and think, because this is our reality. And this is what we will be held accountable for on the Day of Judgment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes to what we need to do and to enable us and make it easy for us to do that and to accept it from us, inshaAllah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.